This afternoon we read from the Word of God, from Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15. Ephesians 5 from verse 15. The Apostle writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. The text for the preaching this afternoon is verse 21 of chapter 5, submitting. And we take it as a verb, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We now listen to the preaching of the gospel, and afterwards we sing Psalm 134. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in the De Vries household, and also in the Gelderman family, there is again extra work that needs to be done. More diapers that need to be changed, more clothes that need to be washed, and also another mouth that needs to be fed. Later, there will also be more of a different kind of work, teaching Luke and Ryder to walk and to talk, teaching them stories from the Bible teaching them psalms and also teaching them what it means to live as Christians. Of course, for John and Tirzah, all this is nothing new. Instead, what they are already teaching Kaylee and Bryn, Darius, Ezra and Roman, they can now teach to Luke as well, and also for Brad and Julie. What they have already started teaching Quinn, do not touch PowerPoints, listen to what your mum says, Ryder will need to learn all that as well. But what is the most important thing that Luke and Ryder need to learn? Is it not they must learn to obey their parents? Because how can they go to school? How can they get a job? How can we let them loose on the roads as long as they have not learned obedience? Teaching our children obedience, teaching them to submit to authority, that is, teaching them to live in this world. In Ephesians 6, the apostle writes about children and parents. And Paul makes it clear that children must obey their parents. It's important that we notice Paul does not say, obey your parents when you like what they say. Paul does not say, obey your parents after they have earned your respect. Instead, obey your parents because this is right. This is one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, so do it. But, beloved congregation, before Paul says that, in our text, Paul first says to everybody, to parents and children, to husbands and wives, to employers and employees, to elders and deacons and church members, Paul first says to everybody, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. That means children, submit to your parents and to your teachers at school. Wives, submit to your husbands, but also husbands, submit to your wives and to your children and even to other members of the church. Girls and boys, submit to your classmates, even to your younger brothers and sisters. Submit? Yes. Submit to everyone. Because a real Christian life is a life of submission. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme. The Christian community is marked by a lifestyle where people submit to one another. We learn what it means to submit to one another, the reason why we submit to one another, and the purpose of submitting to one another. The Christian community is marked by a lifestyle where people submit to one another. First, we see what it means to submit to one another. Girls and boys, of course, when dad or mum says clean your room, then submitting means saying, yes, mum, yes, dad, and then also doing it. And when your dad or mum says it's time for bed, or please help in the kitchen, or help in the garden, children submit when they do what their parents say. And in the same way, when our boss at work, or our teacher in the classroom gives instructions, or when our district elder wants to arrange a meeting with us, or when the government puts a sign beside the road that says how fast we are allowed to drive, then we submit when we organise our lives the way they tell us to. That's pretty simple. God has given some people authority over us, and we submit to them when we do what they say. But our text does not say, submit to people who have authority over you. No, it says, submit to one another. And so we ask, How are dad and mum supposed to submit to the children? When our children say, we want ice cream for supper, are dad and mum supposed to give their children what the children want? Sorry, girls and boys, the answer is no. When Paul says submit, submit does not always mean obey. Instead, submit really means to place underneath. Submitting to other people means placing ourselves underneath those other people, putting them on top and putting ourselves underneath, putting them first and putting ourselves last. And Paul explained to the Philippians what this means. Paul said, count others as more significant than yourselves. That means decide in your heart that they are more important than you are. Decide in your heart that looking after them is more important than looking after yourself. And Paul explains, the Lord Jesus Christ was God. And so he was really much more important than anybody else. But still, he emptied himself and he became a servant. Think about this. Jesus is God. Nobody could say to him, do this or you have to do that. Instead, he could do whatever he wanted. He even had angels who were his servants. And Jesus could make them do whatever he wanted. But Jesus put himself underneath God. First, Jesus put himself underneath God. And he said, God, I will do whatever you tell me to do. And then Jesus also put himself underneath the disciples when he went down on his knees to wash their feet. That's submitting, putting yourself underneath. And the point is that Jesus put himself underneath us when he said, God, I will do whatever it takes to save these people. I will suffer. I will die because this would help my people. This would make my people happy. Jesus submitted. He said, how it affects me, how it might hurt me, how much I might have to suffer, that is not so important. What is more important, I want to look after them. I will do whatever it takes to make them happy. And this, brothers and sisters, this is the struggle of every husband and every wife in marriage. This is the struggle of every parent and every child in a family. This is the struggle of every employer and every employee in a workplace. By nature, we want to do what suits us. And we want other people to arrange their lives and their schedules the way that suits us. That's our human nature. But Jesus Christ is the head of the Christian church. And he taught us to submit. That means he commands me to put your needs ahead of my own. He commands me to work with your schedule, even if it is inconvenient for me. Notice again, before God commands wives to submit to husbands, before God commands children to obey their parents, before God commands employees to obey their employers, God first commands us all to submit to each other, because submission is the Christian way of life. And do you understand where this leaves you, dads and mums? Before you instruct your children to obey you, first you must submit to them. First, you must submit to them. And If you will not submit to them first, do not expect them to submit to you later. And now we can be thankful, because God has designed family life in such a way that every mother has to submit to her children first, already when her child is a baby. Because every night when mum hears her baby cry, when mum would rather keep on sleeping, she gets out of bed, nevertheless, and she feeds her baby because she loves him. She submits to his needs. She puts his needs before her own. But when our children become older, it becomes a little bit more difficult. When our children are 2 years old, when it would be really convenient for mum if our child was potty trained. Also, when we would like our children to play nicely so that we can socialize with our friends in real or virtual on our phone, then it is easy to discipline our children for our own convenience. Then we submit in the way that God wants us to. We submit in the way that God wants us to if, before we discipline our children, we ask ourselves, is this about my child? Or is this about me? Is my child really being naughty so that he needs to be disciplined? Or is he just being a child, looking for attention and love and security? And then we teach our children what submission means. Not when we discipline them, not when we force them to do what is convenient for us. Instead, we teach our children what submission means when we submit, when we give them the example of submission, when we place the needs of our children first and we do what is best for them. The natural way, the convenient way, would be for me to yell at my children, to force them to change their behavior to suit my needs. But that is not submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so it also happens when Dad is home and when there is company, when Dad says something to his children and they don't listen immediately, then sometimes Dad disciplines his children because his children make him look bad in front of the company. Then Dad's act of discipline is about himself. He is putting himself and his hurt feelings first and not his children. And so he does not submit in the way that God commands. And it also happens, beloved congregation, that a man, after a hard day's work, comes home and he wants some downtime to relax before he involves himself with his family. It could be a few minutes in the garden, a few minutes on the couch, but the family knows Dad needs some time alone. Now, I cannot say that's not allowed, but I can say when the Lord Jesus Christ needed some downtime, he went away into the mountains. But remember, the crowds followed him. And remember how Jesus did not send them away. Instead, Jesus put the people first, and he put his own needs in second place. By doing that, Jesus again shows us what it means to submit. And this means Christian parents can be energetic in teaching their children the Christian doctrine. Christian parents can tell their children, listen to Daddy and do what Mummy says. But then it is possible that we teach our children to obey, but we do not teach them to submit, because submitting is not an action. Submitting is not something we do. Instead, submission is an attitude. It's in the heart, where we choose to deny ourselves, where we don't do just whatever is most convenient for ourselves, where instead we consider what somebody else needs and we focus on doing what is best for them. That's how Jesus lived. That's how Paul commands us to live in our text. See, brothers and sisters, Paul is not a conservative. You know, one of those conservatives who says, children and women and employees, you have to stay in your place. Paul's not one of them. Nor is Paul a liberal who tells children and wives and employees to fight for their rights. Paul teaches us that conflict between parents and children and fighting between husbands and wives and also struggles between employers and trade unions, these are all about our old sinful nature. And so Paul addresses Christian men. Paul addresses Christian women. Paul addresses Christian children. And Paul teaches us how we can be liberated from slavery to sin, from slavery to selfishness and conflict. Paul says, when parents put their children first, then they prepare their children for godly living. Paul says, when a husband puts his wife first, then he equips her for a life that glorifies God in her family and in the church and in the community. And when a wife submits to her husband, then she makes it possible for him to do his work well. And when an employer puts the needs of his employees first, he makes it possible for them to do their work joyfully and effectively. Paul says, people who have got positions of authority, who have got great power to influence the lives of other people, the world says, take that power while you have got the chance. The world says, use that power for your own good. But Paul shows us another way, the Christian way. Paul says, when I submit to you, then what am I doing? When I submit to you, I am equipping you. I am empowering you for your task in the place where God has put you. Just like Jesus. Jesus, by submitting, empowered us for our task in God's kingdom. That's our first point. In our second point, we will now consider the reason why members submit to one another. In verse 15, Paul urged us to look carefully how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise people. And Paul added, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then, of course, no Christian wants to be foolish. No Christian wants to do anything that is unwise. Oh, we don't always make every effort to do what is wise. We don't always have the willpower or the self-discipline that we need to do what is best. And so sometimes we make bad choices. We sit on the couch and eat a bag of chips or a bar of chocolate when we could be making better choices. And then of course I study my Bible and I pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so, I can imagine that I am submitting to God. But am I really? If we listen to Paul, the answer is actually no. Instead, according to our text, I should be studying my Bible, of course. And I should be praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, without a doubt. But, Paul says, we should also be submitting to one another. That means we're talking about wisdom, right? Talking about understanding. That means when we are looking for answers, we should not assume that we can always find the best answers ourselves. Instead, Paul has been explaining in chapter 3 and 4, Paul has been explaining that Jesus Christ is building a church, building a community that is united in faith, and growing together in service of God and in Christian life. That's part of being in this church, growing together. And in this context, where Jesus Christ is building his church, and where I am a part of this church, it makes sense that I do not assume that I always know best. It makes sense that I do not assume that I have got all the answers. It makes sense that I humbly submit to my brothers and sisters and ask them for some advice, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and believing that he is building his church in love, in unity, and in service, believing also that he gives wisdom and other spiritual gifts, not just to me, but also to other people in the church. I share my problems with them, and I submit to their wisdom out of reverence for Christ. In this way, as a church community, we grow together. And do you understand why this is important, brothers and sisters? Well, in theory, we believe in church discipline. In theory, we believe that if I do something wrong, you should come to me and show me my fault. But you know as well as I do that really happens. And why not? Some people suggest that we feel uncomfortable criticizing other people. Some people suggest that we don't care and we don't want to get involved. If I'm honest, though, often I do have my opinions about the way you raise your children. And then I don't talk about it with you, but I do talk about it with other people. I care about you, and I care about your children. And if I thought that talking to you would help, then I would. But I don't dare. I don't want to hurt you or offend you. I don't want to lose you as a friend, and so better to say nothing. And our beloved congregation, Paul understands that the communion of saints cannot work like that. And Paul also understands that the communion of saints does not begin with people who dare to discipline each other. Instead, the communion of saints begins where I submit to you, where I give you openings to comment on the way I live my life, to comment on the way I preach my sermons, to comment on the way I treat my wife, or the way I run my catechism classes. We truly submit to our relatives and our friends, and we truly submit to the elders in the church when we dare to give them openings so that they feel free to comment on the way we live our lives, the way we work, the way we interact with our children or our spouse. On the surface, beloved congregation, on the surface we do some things very well. We attend family gatherings and coffee socials, join in with dines and dashes. We discuss all kinds of spiritual issues, including sermons. But we can do all that while at the same time building solid walls around our hearts and our lives and our families. We build those walls simply by doing nothing. Simply by not making space for anybody else to express an opinion or to help us with their wisdom. So church discipline really happens. And when it does happen, it comes across like a sledgehammer that only destroys. And for this reason, Paul says, submit to one another. That means, let me make it clear to you that I want to grow in my life of faith. That means, let me speak to you in such a way about some of the challenges that I struggle with. Let me give you opportunities to give me some support. Let me make room in my heart, make room in my life for you to help me. Paul says, do that because Christ is the builder of the church, the owner of the church. And when I grow, when you help me to grow, then the church is being built and then Christ is being glorified. That is our second point. And that brings us finally to the purpose of submitting to one another. Again, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ does not stand by itself. Instead, it works itself out in different ways. When a wife submits to her husband, she supports him so that he can focus on his task. And when a husband submits to his wife, then, just like Christ is making the church his bride lovely and splendid and glorious, then a husband also makes his wife blossom and radiant and splendid. A child submits to his parents, and so he grows in holiness and in service of God. And parents submit to their children when they, as parents, focus on giving their children what they really need. Employers submit to their employees and give their employees every opportunity to thrive in their jobs. And employees submit to their employers, giving them their best effort always. And then the bottom line is, beloved congregation, when we all submit to each other, then we are empowering each other for the task that God has given us to do in our families, in the church, and in the world. And that is what it's all about. The secret is that Jesus Christ is building his church. And Jesus, how did he build? What did Jesus do to build his church? Jesus did not stand up with a megaphone and tell everybody what they had to do. Jesus was not the manager. Instead, he became the lowest servant. The lowest servant of all. He went down to his knees, down to the grave, and he served. In a world where everybody wants to be important, and everybody thinks that everybody else ought to be listening to them, Jesus went down on his knees and he served. And he said, in my kingdom, the way to build, the way to lead, the way to help other people grow is to get down on your knees and serve. Jesus says, do that and I will build my church. Submit to one another and I will bless you. I will strengthen you. And I will also strengthen other people around you. I will glorify myself by building my church. Parents, teachers, office bearers, employers, husbands, do you want to use your position to make a difference? You want to use the power, the authority, that God has given to you, do you want to use that for His glory? Then follow His example. Submit. Put other people and their needs first. That's the way He builds His church. So, if you want to build with Him, that's the way to do it. Also, this week, let us submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen.